The reading is from the Old Testament, from the first book of Samuel, chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could hardly see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons uttered blasphemies against God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, 'The guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering.'" Samuel lay down till morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called to him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word.
It's great that you've joined us as we go through the life of Samuel, picking up some lessons as we learn from his life. Now, Franklin Roosevelt, the president of the United States in the 1930s, often had to endure long receiving lines at the White House as he welcomed people to various functions and parties. And he complained that no one really paid attention to what he was saying during these times. So one day, during yet another reception, feeling a bit mischievous, he decided to try out an experiment. To each person who passed down the line and shook his hand, he murmured, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." The guests responded with phrases like, "Marvelous, Keep up the good work. Oh, we're so proud of you. God bless you, sir. It wasn't until the end of the line when greeting the Bolivian ambassador that his words were actually heard. And surprisingly, nonplussed, the ambassador leaned over and whispered, "I'm sure she had it coming to her." Now, similarly in life, we can go about our everyday life pretending to hear what people say. But in our busyness, we're just not listening. And with God, it can be the same. We either don't hear him speak, or we don't listen to what he says, or we don't respond in the way that we should. And tonight we're looking at 1 Samuel 3 to see what lessons we can learn from Samuel and those around him on the subject of listening to God. So with this in mind, I want us to look at this passage together whilst exploring two application questions that will hopefully help us to take some lessons home from this reading tonight. The two questions are we hearing God speaking? And then the second one is, are we responding to God speaking? But before we start looking at these two questions, I just want to say from the off that I believe that God speaks to us primarily through the Bible, through the Word of God, and by the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not discounting that God can speak to us in other ways, or want to be misheard saying that God is incapable of speaking to us other than through the Bible. But what I am saying is that God primarily speaks to us through his word, and he will never lead us in a way that contradicts that word. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. And I don't discount that. I don't discount the fact that he can use visions or other people too. But I believe that none of the other ways he may communicate with us will or should contradict the foundational way he speaks to all people. And when we read the scriptures, we're not just reading a record of what God has done in the past. God actively speaks to us in the here and now through the words of this amazing book. The writer of Hebrews makes this point clear when he writes that the word of God is living and active. But many of us want something more, something different. We read the scriptures and witness God speaking to individuals in amazing ways, such as Moses, as he speaks to him through the burning bush. And tonight we'll see Samuel hearing God call out to him in the dark. Unfortunately, some can read these accounts and assume that the Bible is presenting the normal experience of all who follow God. But this isn't true. They are special revelations of guidance given to individuals who had a special role to play in the outworking of God's saving purposes. And in fact, we don't need any special revelation. What we need is illumination from the Holy Spirit as he works through the Word of God to counsel, comfort, and convict us. And actually, God speaking to us through Scripture can and should be a personal, supernatural experience for us. John Piper, the famous pastor and writer, wrote a blog entitled "The Morning I Heard the Voice of God," and in it he says this: "The great need of our time is for people to experience the living reality of God by hearing his word personally and transformingly in Scripture. Something is incredibly wrong when the words we hear outside Scripture are more powerful and more affecting to us than the inspired word of God. How precious the Bible is. It is the very voice of God, and by this voice he speaks with absolute truth and personal force. By this voice he reveals his all-surpassing beauty and reveals the deepest secrets of our hearts. No voice anywhere, anytime can reach as deep or lift as high or carry as far as the voice of God that we hear in the Bible. God speaks to us today through the Bible with greater force, greater glory, greater assurance, greater sweetness, greater hope, greater guidance, greater transforming power, greater Christ-exalting truth than can be heard through any voice in any human soul on the planet from outside the Bible." He's a good writer. So with all this in mind, as we go through the narrative account of Samuel's life, I just want us to be thinking of how this applies to us hearing and responding to God as he speaks to us through his primary channel, the living and active word of Scripture. So if you have your Bibles, why don't you pick them up and turn to 1 Samuel 3 with me. They can be found on page 273 of the church Bibles if you haven't brought one. But also if you've got on the phone, just turn it on, switch it on at 1 Samuel 3 as we continue in our journey through the life of Samuel. Firstly then, are we hearing God speaking? Let's have a look together at the opening verses of this chapter to set the scene. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Now we can see from these verses that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. But why? Why was this the case? Why was God silent? Well, in the Bible, often the absence of God's word is a mark of God's judgment. And over the past 2 weeks, we've learned that 1 Samuel is placed in the period of the judges where there was no authority and everyone did whatever they saw fit. The nation of Israel at this time was in crisis. There was no moral absolutes and the result was chaos and darkness. And last week we learned that this problem had also extended into the house of God with the demise of Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who were priests and should have been helping to point the nation back to God. But instead they were leading the charge in turning them away from God. The opening verses provide us with some helpful imagery as well that sum up the state of the nation. In verse 2, we see Eli's failing eyes are a possible outward sign of his spiritual blindness. Whilst verse 3, we have the fading light of the lamp of God, which could be signifying the withdrawing of the light of God's word to his people, allowing them to wander in the darkness that they preferred. But significantly, Samuel is mentioned in these opening verses, helping us to see that this boy can be the flickering light symbolized by that lamp. That actually Samuel was the flickering light of hope for the nation of Israel. But then suddenly, without warning, verse 4, it tells us that the Lord calls out to Samuel. And though we have seen Samuel's sort of quiet rise interwoven throughout chapters 2, we're still surprised to find that God has chosen to break his long period of silence with the nation of Israel by speaking to a 12-year-old boy. But perhaps this is why we like this story of Samuel. Perhaps that's why we love it, because it appeals to us. It appeals to us because if God can speak to a 12-year-old, then surely he can speak to you and me. And between verses 4 and 14, we then have the dialogue between God and Samuel, Samuel and Eli, and eventually Samuel and God. And one of the things that really stands out for me as I look at this interplay between the characters is the servant-hearted, obedient character of Samuel. In verse 4, we read that whilst the boy Samuel was curled up in bed, he was dramatically woken up by a voice. And immediately he jumps up and runs to Eli without complaint. Now, I don't know about you, but if this was me, this verse would read completely differently. Maybe it'd read something like this. John was woken up by a voice. He mumbled something. And eventually, he rolled over. But Samuel isn't like me. He doesn't grumble. He immediately gets up and runs to Eli's aid. And not once, but three times he does this. Now, Samuel's reaction does beg the question for me whether this was a usual occurrence. Because he doesn't seem to be frightened. He seems to respond like it was a normal chore. So it could be quite likely that the aged, overweight, almost blind Eli needed help from time to time in the night. Or perhaps occasionally Eli would call out in his sleep and then getting confused as to whether he had called out or not. Now, before I got married, I obviously didn't know that my wife suffered from night terrors. This information seemed to slip in mind before we exchanged our vows together. And so the first year of marriage was a frightening experience, as I was occasionally woken up by my wife just shouting out. Thankfully, after 4 years, I'm getting a bit used to it now. But not once in those 4 years have I ever thought it was God calling and woken up responding, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." So it seems perfectly reasonable to learn that Samuel didn't know what was happening. Especially when we read verse 7 that Samuel had never received the word of the Lord before. And up until this point, he had never had any direct experience with God. No wonder the poor boy was confused. In the passage, we find in verse 8 that it takes the wisdom and experience of Eli to sense that there is something going on and that perhaps God was involved. So once again, Eli draws Samuel into a closer understanding of God and enables the young boy to hear God's word. But how much longer will he play this role? So in verse 9, we read that Samuel obeys Eli's advice and goes back to bed. And when he is woken for the fourth time by God, Samuel responds to him saying, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Samuel is now ready to hear from the Lord. What about us today? Are we hearing God speak, or is God silent? Firstly, are we hearing God speaking in our world today? Israel was in a desperate crisis. There were no rule, and the house of God was horribly compromised. And it sounds very similar to our world today, doesn't it? Where relativism rules in our postmodern culture, where people believe there is no truth and we can live however we like as long as it works for us. And as long as we don't impose our views on others and on how others should live, anything goes. And this is the result of not knowing God. In many countries in the world today, especially in the developed West and certainly in Britain, there is a famine of the Word of God. Especially in Britain. And a compromise of the Word of God by the very establishment that is supposed to treasure and protect it. All across our country, there are pretty little churches and chapels dotted across the landscape. Sadly, with no gospel witness coming out of them. And so unfortunately, there are very few places across Wales, Britain and Europe for people to get to know about the good news that Jesus brings. Simply because God's word is not taught. So when we consider just this past month with the terrorist attacks in Paris, it's during these times of tragedies in life that people ask the big questions. And it's often then when people go to church to hear what God has to say, to get comfort, to consider Christ. And for us who come to church week in, week out, we forget what a big step that is for someone to go into a church and walk through its doors. How tragic it is then for these people who have plucked up the courage to seek answers to life's big questions and hear nothing of the Word of God. It's tragic and heartbreaking because how else will people come to know God if the very place he promises to speak to us from is not used? But the amazing thing about this chapter is that it is a chapter of transformation. Can you see it? In verse 1 we read, "In those days the word of the Lord was rare." But by the beginning of chapter 4 in verse 1 we read the concluding remarks of chapter 3. And it says, "The Lord continued to appear, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. And Samuel's word came to all Israel." It's marvelous because it goes from no word to the word going to all people. It goes from being a famine of the word, of the word, to a feast in which every person can hear God speaking through Samuel. And so the hope and lesson for us is that we should pray for Bible-believing and teaching churches to be raised up in our country, and that people who are earnestly seeking the word of God would find and attend them. These types of churches play an important role in people coming to hear God speaking into our world and speaking directly into our lives. If churches commit and submit to the word of God, then transformation is available and possible for our nation and for our city. But this is also equally true for us as on an individual level. Are we hearing God speaking to us personally? Are we spending time actively seeking to hear him and spend time with him? And as we look at these first three chapters of 1 Samuel, we read that Samuel ministered before the Lord and grew up in the presence of the Lord, which helped prepare his heart and his mind to hear God speak. Now, I don't know about you, but life can be so crazy, can it? It seems every space is filled up very quickly. There is constant chatter in our lives from emails, texts, text message, social media, TV. We are so well connected that actually we never seem to have time to disconnect and have space. And then when you throw children into the mix, well, it's just bonkers. However, this could be just my life, but I doubt it. There are so many distractions day to day that any free time seems to be filled up quickly with another distraction. And so how can we realistically hear God if we have so many other voices, like white noise, drowning it out? And as a Christian, I know the importance of having time with God, listening to Him speak to me through His Word. And yet this is usually the first thing that gets squeezed out of my day. And yet, all of us who've been Christians for some years can recall times in life when everything seemed to get on top of us. And somehow, when we found the time to hear God, something from God, it was transformational for that circumstance. Maybe it was simply hearing God say, "I love you," or "I'm with you," or "just hang on." The reality is that as long as we continue with all the chatter in our lives, the likelihood is that we will hear less and less of God speaking into our lives, and we will be less and less ready to hear Him speak. And if we're brutally honest with each other, you could be sat there thinking, you know that, I've tried listening to God, Reeves, and reading my Bible, and you know what? It just doesn't happen. I've carved out like 15 minutes, sat on the settee in silence, and didn't hear anything. And so what's the answer to someone who says this to you? Or what is the answer to yourself as you hear yourself say this in your own mind? Especially when we think about it from God's vantage point. You may say to me, "Really, John? You took a whole 15 minutes out of your life and said, 'Okay, God, here I am, speak.' And then straight afterwards, you watched Big Bang Theory for 30 minutes. So Big Bang Theory gets 15 more minutes than God. And you're complaining to God that you didn't hear Him?" We see from this passage that it took time for Samuel to tune into God's Word. And this is the same with us. With any type of relationship, it takes time to hone the skill of listening in a marriage, in a friendship. And it's going to take time with God too. But we have to start somewhere. Maybe think about the activities you do before and after your quiet time with God, to see if they help you tune into God's Word and hear Him speaking. Why not think intentionally about carving out time and space to get with His Word, to read His Word, and then just be in His presence. It's the only way we're really going to hear Him speak, and for us to have the chance to listen. If you're not a Christian here this evening, thank you so much for coming. It's great to see you. But what about you? How are you going to find out if God is speaking today? And if He does speak, how can you find out what He's saying and whether it is relevant to you? Well, in the Bible it tells us that Jesus was God's ultimate communicator to us. And so if we really want to know what God is saying to us and what He's like, then we need to look closer at the person of Jesus. And this Monday, we're starting a new Christianity Explore course that introduces Jesus to you. It'll go through things like, who is Jesus? Why did He come? Why is He relevant to me? And so if you want to hear God speaking and hear what He's saying through Jesus, His ultimate word, then I highly recommend that you carve out time to attend this course on Monday. So the first question tonight, are we hearing God speaking? The second question is, are we responding to God speaking? So let's get back into the passage to see what the message God gave to Samuel was, and to see what lessons we can learn from how He responded. Now let's pick up the narrative back at verse 11. "And the Lord said to Samuel, 'See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle.'" But what was this tingling news? Well, the preceding verses tell us that it was God's plan to bring down the house of Eli, just as He'd warned previously in chapter 2. This was going to happen because Eli didn't rebuke his sons disgraceful actions. And so now it was left to poor Samuel at the age of 12 to pass this message on to Eli, to the person who had nurtured him and taught him all that he knew, the man who had been like a father to him. Now the text is wonderfully honest here. After receiving this news about Eli, Samuel went down and laid down. And no wonder, I think I would have done exactly the same. Notice the text doesn't say he slept. Because I bet he didn't. I bet he tossed and turned all night. And maybe you've experienced a night like poor Samuel. If you're a manager here tonight, then you would definitely have had nights like this. When the next day you know that you've got to have an uncomfortable conversation with one of the members of the team. And you find your thoughts are just consumed with acting out these different scenarios of how the conversation is going to go. But remember, this isn't a peer or someone underneath Samuel. This is his boss, his mentor, his adopted father, and he's 12. When morning comes and it's time to get up, it tells us in verse 15 that Samuel busied himself around the temple, opening the curtains, cleaning up the mess from the night before, doing anything he could to avoid seeing Eli, and just keep his mind from that inevitable conversation. Will he respond to God's word and pass on this tingling message? The poor guy, no sooner is Samuel called to the prophetic task, he finds how difficult and heart-rending it can be. The true prophet of God has to speak the word of God because it's been entrusted to him. He must pass it on, even if it's an unfavorable message. And so Samuel, when confronted by Eli, we find in verse 18, he says, Samuel told Eli everything, hiding nothing from him. Samuel responds to hearing God speak and passes the message on, proving that he can be trusted with the word of God. This was his test, and it was a test that the nation really needed him to pass. Because from this time on, his relationship with God was close and constant. And this is the reason why Israel went from hearing no word to everyone hearing the word. Verse 20 tells us that from the north of Israel in Dan to the south of the nation at Beersheba, they all recognized Samuel as a prophet of the Lord. The whole of the nation was ready to hear the word of God through Samuel. But what a transition for Samuel, going to bed as a pupil one day, and then by the time he wakes up the next, he's the newly appointed prophet. Going from no intimate communication with God in verse 7 to verse 19, when it says, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Samuel heard God speaking and responded. And because of this, he continued to grow in his faith and knowledge of the God who speaks. What a great example Samuel is to us in this chapter. Now, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord was only available to the prophet. But for us today, because of Jesus, every believer has the Spirit of God available to them. So although there is no Samuel today, the responsibility of every believer in Christ is to pass on the whole word of God. We must not water it down or spice it up. We cannot hide anything. We must not add anything. We must speak out like Samuel in truth and love. And so, how are we responding to God speaking in our lives today? Now, there are many voices in this world for us to hear and respond. But how, as a Christian, can we weigh them up to ensure that we're hearing and responding to God speaking to us and growing as God continues to speak into our lives? Well, recently I met up with some of the guys that I'm accountable to, and they asked me a great question. They said, what did I think was the most important thing that I've learned from during my time of training at Oxford? Tough question, but I think this is it. There are predominantly four voices speaking into the Christian's life today. There's the voice of Scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. Scripture meaning the whole of the Bible, tradition meaning the past 2,000 years of church history and thought, reason being intellectual reason and the sciences. and experience what I experience each day in my own life. Now, some Christians put all four voices on the same level, with each voice having equal authority. But the problem with this approach is that it will affect the way that we respond to God's word. Because if we see Scripture as one voice among many, then we will eventually devalue its authority and its importance. And the danger is, when making decisions in life, we just pick and choose parts of God's word that we will listen to, and which ones we'll ignore. And because of our sinful nature, we will exchange the voice of God with another voice that allows us to do exactly what we wanted to do in our lives. And isn't this exactly what's happening in the nation of Israel during the time of Samuel? Now, earlier this evening I mentioned that John Piper said the great need of our time is for people to experience the living reality of God by hearing his word personally and transformingly in Scripture. Something is incredibly wrong when the words we hear outside Scripture are more powerful and more affecting to us than the inspired word of God. And so I totally agree with him. And so for me, the order of the voices should be Scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. Do you know, as a Christ follower, I should never be over the Scriptures imposing my own view. I should never be alongside Scripture as an equal partner, but I should always be under its authority, believing its inerrancy. Just like Samuel, I wanted to shape me, guide me, instruct me, convict me, and save me. So, as we conclude then, how are people responding to God speaking in our world today? If God's word is rare today, it's not because God is silent. God has spoken loud and clear through his written word and through Jesus, the eternal word of God. If God's word is read today, it's because people will not listen and Christians will not speak. It is because God's people have smoothed away what they do not like in Scripture, or have simply lost confidence that anyone will listen. How are we responding to God speaking in our lives today? Is the word of God through Scripture just one of many voices you hear and respond to? Or is it the authoritative voice in your life? The truth is that God's word refreshes and rescues the soul. It makes us wise, restores joy to our hearts, and gives light to our eyes. We need to be reading the Bible, engaging with the preaching of our church, speaking the word to one another in truth and love, and reminding our own hearts of God's saving actions through his word. And if you are here tonight and, do you know what, you just haven't been listening to God speaking in your life, and you realize that, then can I just say, it isn't too late to listen to him. No situation is out of the reach of God's grace, God's love and wisdom. And he's calling out to you with open arms. God's word is a precious treasure that has transforming power. God is speaking. The question is, are we listening? And will we respond with the words of Samuel, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Father God, we thank you for our time together. We thank you for the truths that we find in the Bible. Help us to carve out time to treasure your words so that they would be transformative in our lives, in our hearts, in our speech. And would that just impact us, but those around us, as we see our house, our friends, our city, our nation being transformed into gospel, Bible-believing Christians, Lord. Father God, we know that you want to save, and we just pray that you would help us to understand that deeper. In Jesus' name. Amen.